What an amazing promise. What a promise. We are not alone. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when Jared and I were first going out, back in our day, we used to write love letters to each other. I don't know what you do these days, flick an emoji on a text or something like that, but we used to write love letters, and I'd get this special card, and I'd be, you know, reading it, and I'd keep it safe, and I'd reread it, and it'd make me feel warm and fuzzy, and, you know, but I think of King David, or David before he was king, maybe. I don't know. Don't get the timeline right. But in the Bible, David, he would sing and write these love letters and these songs to God because he had so much going on in his life. There was so much chaos. There was many people chasing him. They wanted his life. They wanted to kill him. There was just chaos, and he was broken, and he was lonely, and there was just, his life was chaos. So you know what he did? He turned to God. He turned his eyes to the faithful one, to the one he could trust. And he sang love songs, love letters to him. That was his response. And so when he trusted him, when he turned his eyes to him, he took his focus off himself and he put his eyes on God. And I've got this amazing psalm here that I want to read you. And what I want you to do is to close your eyes, to forget those around you. Use your imagination. Jesus is right in front of you. And imagine that you're telling Jesus this love letter. And I just want you to open your heart to him. Psalm 63. You are my God, the one who I trust with my whole life, and I earnestly search for you. I seek you with every fiber of my being. My soul thirsts with the deepest longings to love you more, with cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearnings grip my soul for you, my God. I'm energized every time I enter your heavenly sanctuary to seek more of your power and to drink in more of your glory. For your unfailing love and tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. How I love to praise you, God. Daily, I will bless you with every breath of my life. I worship you passionately with all my heart, lifting my arms to you in prayer. My arms will wave to you like banners of praise. I overflow with praise when I come before you with excitement in my heart and joy on my lips, for the anointing of your presence satisfies me like nothing else. You are such a rich banquet of pleasure for my soul. I lie awake each night thinking of you, meditating through the night of your greatness till morning smiles through the window, and I gratefully reflect on how you help me like a father. I sing through the night under your splendor shadow, offering up to you songs of delight and joy. With passion, I pursue and cling to you because I feel your grip on my life. I keep my soul close to your heart. And what I want to do now is, I know we're in this atmosphere of worship, but I just want to move the first two rows to the sides. And if you feel comfortable, I want you to come forward to the front. We're making a lot of space so we can spread out. But I want you to come to the front and start speaking in tongues. Start telling God how much you love him. Write your own love letter to him. Use your own mouth. Use your words to speak words of joy, words of thanksgiving, words of gratefulness. Tell him how much you love him. Let's start speaking now. Let's start speaking in tongues. Come forward to the front if you want a bit of space. Get yourself into a place of worship where you're ready to sing your heart out to him and tell him how much you love him and adore him.
Time to get spiritual. This is one of my favourite pieces of equipment in the whole earth. It's called a lawnmower. If you don't know what they are, they cut grass. Does anyone else have a love relationship with lawnmowers? Come on, don't be closet lawnmower people. It's okay. This isn't my lawnmower. My lawnmower is at home. It likes to be at home at night time. But I wanted to bring this so you could see a lawnmower. Imagine if this lawnmower was your gift. Imagine if this is what God's given you in your life to use to affect people around you. I bought my lawnmower brand new about 12 years ago. It's one of the proudest days of my life. Rachel's talking about love letters. I got to buy a new lawnmower. And when I got that lawnmower, I said to the Lord, you know what? This is a really dumb thing, but I'm going to use this lawnmower to bless someone for as long as it runs. 12 years later, this the thing's still running, man. It shouldn't be. See how there's a throttle on here? This sort of does the engine revs. I'm not a bogan, so I don't know. Daniel, you better tell me, but... Well, my one doesn't have one of those. It's gone. So I just, like, smash it round to full open, give it a couple of plugs of jungle juice, like that. Two kicks, then she's good as gold. She'll start straight away. I love my lawnmower. Imagine if the gifts in your life that God's given you is like this lawnmower. At the moment, it's not doing much, is it? Because the things underneath have to spin around to cut the grass, right? At the moment, it's just a... Well, I don't know. What is it? It's a lawnmower, but it's not doing anything, is it? It's not fulfilling its purpose. The blades have to be spinning. My blades spin. I'm too embarrassed to take it to the lawnmower doctor because it's just hideous. And I'm sure, like, the blades are about that long. So you know how... See how wide this is? So technically, you should be able to, like, go down that bit and then go over a width, and you should cut the grass. And my one doesn't do that. It only sort of cuts it about that wide. But it still cuts it. Ah. I found in my life that the gifts that God's given me in my life, are best used when I'm doing something, when I'm activating them. And when I'm activating, it's normally affecting somebody else. I'm not bragging, but every neighbor I've lived next to over my life since I bought that lawnmower loves me because I do their lawns when I do mine. Why do I do that? I'm not really into lawnmowing that much. I mean, I like it. I love my lawnmower. But I do it because I'm wanting just to do something. And I want us to think tonight. I want you to think tonight. What is my something? How am I going to affect my neighborhood? How am I going to make a difference in the world? You got to start the lawnmower to start with. Let's give it a go. Thanks to the cleaners. It's running now, eh? It can do something. Shall we drop it down and see what it does? You can see straight away when the blades are spinning and that, it spits out stuff, and it's thanks to the cleaners, I love you. But straight away, it's gone from something that's useless other than leaning on and talking about to actually doing something. It's going to cut the grass. It's going to do something in its world to change something. The Holy Spirit was clearly... Oh, that's good petrol. Is that the smoke from it? Oh, dang. Brett, you need to check your oil. Huh. The point is this. Can we stand up? The point is this. It's such a simple point. Every single one of us, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Has a gift from God. We are here for a reason. Do you know that we were made? Humanity was made to reflect God's image in this earth. So if you've got no other task or job, which I know isn't true, but if that was your only one thing, then that's what you do. You reflect him. And you change the world around you by reflecting him. And I think more than ever, the church, instead of reclining, needs to be more activated. We need to be more on the front foot. We need to get the blades spinning. And some of you, like I spent years thinking this, that I'm spitting mints everywhere. I was okay when I first came to Jesus. I felt like a brand new thing. And over the time, I realized that, you know, the throttle broke. So instead of fixing it, I just pulled it off and now I just jam it. Like I found a way of functioning. The catcher latchy things are broken. So I just bend them up every time and it works to get me through that mow. So it's functioning, but it's not as best as it could be. And I reckon that a lot of us live our Christianity like that. That gift that you've once stepped out in, that gift and that dream that God's put in your heart, that dream that keeps you awake when you speak to him at night, when it's just you and him. Man, I'm spinning mints. You're struggling because you feel like you've lost your throttle or your blades are dull or whatever. Do you know what? You can still cut the grass. God can still use you. Don't give up. Spin the blades. Get moving. And I want to challenge us tonight to make a commitment. Don't make a commitment to me. Don't make it to your next door neighbor. Make it to God. Say, God, you know what? Yep, I've been sat around idle and I feel like my blades haven't been spinning. I've just kind of sat there in the garage. But Lord, I want to do something again. And I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge myself tonight. We draw a line in the sand and we say, you know what? No matter what, from today, from tonight, I'm going to start spinning my blades again. I'm going to cut something. I'm going to do something with that God has given me. Is that good? Does anyone else want to commit to that in this place? We're going to worship God and, you know, happy to pray for you. But, you know, why don't you just, in your own moment, because I really feel like this is a thing between you and God. It's not a thing. It's not for anybody else. Every lawnmower is different. My crappy old mower is not going to work very well on a 16-acre farm, is it? Old mate will have a ride on for that. Watch your mower. Use your mower. Get your blades spinning. Make a commitment to God tonight. Do something.
Come on, let's begin to speak in tongues. One of the things you've got to think is that one of the things about C3 City Church is that we are a Pentecostal church. It means we believe in a couple of things. We believe in tongues. We believe that the heavenly language can connect us to God. And we believe that when we connect with God, an atmosphere can change. Another thing we believe in is the miraculous, divine healing. We believe that God can come in and miraculously shift a situation. We believe that he can, for people who are unwell, he can give them healing. For people who are in need, he can give them a way. For people who are have no hope, he can find them hope. He can make their darkness seem bright again. That's the kind of church we're in. But you know what? People of God, not much happens if you don't activate the faith inside of you. You can sit in the chairs and you can do all the nice stuff, but nothing's going to shift. Only faith pleases God. So you begin to activate that faith. You begin to stir it up. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that you're here right now. Father, I believe that you can do mighty things. And as I've been standing out there, I've been feeling like what I need to do right now is give you a little bit of something to praise about. A little bit of something to shift the atmosphere. It's a good atmosphere, but I think we could take it to another level. Full of activated faith from the front to the back. And then we're going to pray for healing. Then we're going to pray for salvation of our family and friends. Then we're going to start to pray that situations will change. My little bit of encouragement is this. Luke 19, the triumphal entry. And Jesus is arriving into Jerusalem, and there's a throng of people. I don't know how many are in a throng. I'm guessing it's more than 10. There's a throng of people, and they're all there, and they're waving palm branches, and they're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the Pharisees, they get to Jesus and they say, "Hey, get everybody to quieten down." And Jesus says, "Look, to tell you the truth, if the people stop shouting out, if the people stop proclaiming me, the stones are going to start to sing." It got me thinking, what kind of stones are there in the Bible? And I want to give you some stones. There's a stone in the hand of the Pharisee. When they go to stone the woman who's caught in adultery, the stone is crying out, "There is forgiveness." There's the stone that sits in front of Lazarus' tomb. Martha and Mary are crying because their brother has died. Jesus says, "Roll the stone back." And he calls Lazarus out of a tomb. The stone says, "There is hope." But the stone that really gets me excited, and it should get us all excited. Oh, the stone that gets me excited. It's the one that had rolled itself away in front of a tomb of Jesus that says that your King of Glory, your King of Glory, he has risen from the grave. That he can overcome even death itself by the sheer power of his rule and reign as King. Come on, let's give him some praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And even when you can't see it, he's working. And even when you can't feel it, he's working. And he'll never stop working. I don't know if you noticed, but that third song we sang tonight, which was the first worship song, was written by these guys up here, by our night band. Beautiful song about the faithfulness of God. And Abby and Sam, when we were just worshiping, I just could see the hand of the Lord on you guys. It's probably the lights as well, because it looked like the glory of the Lord coming out from your hair, Abby. But I just felt like, in fact, do you mind going and standing by Sam? Because we want to reach out our hands and pray for these guys. Because I just felt like the anointing of the Lord was coming down on both of you two. And together, you are such a power team. When you play, Sam and Abby, you sing, it's like chains fall off people. I felt like chains were falling off me tonight. Chains the devil and the world try and put on you. When you sing, you break open the heavens, and I could see like this oil pouring down from heaven, and it was like you guys were like a channel, and it was flowing down through your spirit, through your hands on the keys, through your voice, out onto the people. The oil of heaven, which is the Holy Spirit. So reach your hand out now, people. And Lord, we do pray for both of them that they would lead many, not just a few like tonight, but many thousands of people into the presence of God, that the glory of the Lord that you have put on them would flow out from heaven down onto them and through onto all the people in Jesus' name. You guys have been faithful, and you've worshipped God alone and together in the secret place at home, singing, playing, singing to the Lord, writing songs to him. God is going to take what you have given the Lord in the secret place and bring it out into the public. And many, many, many people are going to be set free. In Jesus' name, give him praise. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In just a moment, we're going to sing another awesome worship song, whichever you guys feel. And we're going to bring some people forward and pray for them. And I felt like the Lord said there are people here tonight, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know where to go next, and it's like you're at a crossroads. And it could be next year, it could be 2020's getting closer, and when Victor said there's only 2 months left of the year, you freaked out, and you're just like, I still don't know what to do, and it's getting closer, 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 and Christmas is like 7 weeks away, and It might be you don't know what job to do next year, what degree to do next year. It could be you're at a crossroads with business or decisions. And I just felt like the Lord is talking to you tonight. And he's saying, actually, in those moments when we feel like everything's going wrong, God loves those moments because we come to him and we say, God, I'm so desperate. I don't know what to do. And it's a time of surrender. And actually, we think it's our worst day, but God says, this is your best day because you are inviting me into it. And I will do what you never dreamed possible. And I will show you what to do. And I will show you where to go. And actually, these times are important for us. When we don't know what to do, it humbles us because we don't know. And it makes us realize, God, you are God and I am not. And if that's you, I want you to come to the front right now. If you're in a place in your life where you're not sure what to do or what the next step is for you, it might be in your family, it might be in your finances, in your business, and just come forwards. That's it. And someone will come and stand behind you, a leader come and stand behind you or in front of you or beside you and lift your hands. All right, this is a word I get for you from Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And I feel like that's what the Lord is saying. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, the Lord's going to show you where to go and what to do. And do you know what? Sometimes he even gives you a choice. Sometimes he even says, you love me so much, whatever you choose, it's the right decision. The will of God is broader, a broader path than we often think it is. The peace of God is going to guide you. Right now, we just speak peace into all of these hearts. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the peace of God. It surpasses our understanding. We can't understand it. He's going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let's worship God. Come, Holy Spirit, move in power on these ones. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
I got two things. I've got an Apple Watch, and every now and again it tells me to breathe. I don't know why, it just comes up on it and it goes, breathe. 1 minute of breathing can take away stress. And so what I do is I breathe. I take a deep breath, but in my mind, I'm going, I'm breathing in the Holy Spirit. I'm breathing in fresh life from the Holy Spirit. And I felt we just needed to breathe. So why don't you just take a moment, and every breath that you take, why don't you just breathe in the Holy Spirit into your life. Say, Holy Spirit, just come in, breathe. There's an exchange. One of the amazing things about the cross is it's an exchange where we give our sin and we get forgiveness. We give our brokenness and God heals us. It's this place of exchange. So as you breathe out, say, God, I breathe out all the rubbish in my life. And Holy Spirit, I breathe you in. I breathe in fresh life. He's the breath of life. He's the giver of life. And right now, if you need life, if you need peace, then I think Jesus is the God of peace. He is peace. Just breathe him in, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for every single person here that's anxious or worried. Lord, I pray right now that just breathe in more of your Holy Spirit. See the Holy Spirit going into you, bringing oxygen, life into your body, into your spirit, into your mind. Father, I pray right now you give us fresh thinking. Lord, fresh thinking. Father, the ruts that we're in. All through tonight in worship, I can't shake that I've got a picture of someone and I feel like I've got to lie down. I've got a picture of somebody lying down in their room at night and their mind is frightening them. They're thinking negative. It reminds me, I got the feeling when Eleanor and I were in financial trouble and I thought we were going to go bankrupt. I would lie in bed and I just start thinking all these thoughts and I just couldn't get rid of them. And then even at morning when I woke up, I thought, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to get out of bed. And I just feel this. There's people, you're having trouble at night. Your thoughts, and you just can't control them. And I feel that the word of the Lord is to get out of bed. Yeah. It's to get up. Yes. Just get up. Walk out of your room and go into another room in your house. And just put on some worship and start to worship. You've got to get out. If you stay down there, you won't. You won't bring every thought into captive. The Bible talks about being transformed by renewing your mind. It talks about bringing every thought captive. And can I tell you, it's an active. You can't go get a captive and just go, come with me. You've got to go after it. And you got to get out of bed. I don't know what's happening in your world, but you got to get out of bed. You got to walk into another room, into another place in your house, put the light on and put some worship on or put some scripture on. I don't know what you need, but you need to just change your environment. And suddenly the presence of God and the peace of God's going to come. If you're struggling with thinking, I feel we need to pray for you. So if that's you, it might be one person. It might be 10. If at night you're struggling, you're thinking, quickly come. There's more than one, I know that. Holy Spirit. Kelly, can you come and pray for Leo? Holy Spirit, Father, I pray for every person here that's struggling with their thinking. Father, I pray faith would come. Lord, faith would come. Hope would come. Hope would come. Hope would come. Father, we pray, Father, for strength and power. Lord, your Holy Spirit to come upon them. Lord, I pray for every one of us, Lord, that we would speak and think, Father. Lord, faith would come. Faith would come into our spirits. Holy Spirit.
Hey, there's some folks still being prayed for, and that's okay. But if I can just have the rest of you's attention real quick. We don't want to not let you go without giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus into your life. I don't know all of you, and I don't know where you stand. You know, and the Bible says it's the power of the gospel that leads to salvation. And this is the gospel, real simple, that we're all sinners, and that the wages of sin is death, but God loved us so much that he gave his son that we could have everlasting life. And that's all you have to do. You have to believe that and accept and invite Jesus into your life. And that'll be the start of a relationship that you'll never, ever regret. Can I ask you all just to bow your heads real quick? And I'm gonna say a prayer. And this is just the start of that relationship, the start of that journey. And I want you to pray it with me. And everyone's going to pray it around you just to encourage you if that's the first time you're praying it. And you pray it like you really mean it. And maybe you've prayed it a while back and you feel you haven't been really living the way you should. Or you haven't been making Jesus or God number one, then I want you to pray it again like you really mean it. So can we all bow our heads and everyone say with me, say, Dear Lord Jesus, tonight I acknowledge that I have sinned, that I have done wrong, I've lived my own life, but I want to turn around and I want to follow you. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come and be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to come live inside of me. Tonight I accept you as my God. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your eyes closed for a moment. If you prayed that for the first time, or maybe you prayed it again and you really meant it tonight, I want to just make sure that I talk to you or someone gets hold of you. Will you put your hand up real quick? I'm just going to look around. I'm not going to wait for long. If there's anyone and you prayed that for the first time tonight to accept Jesus, okay? It's a little bit dark out there, but I want to say to you, before you leave, make sure you speak to someone, get a Bible. We'd love to give you a Bible. Make sure you speak to someone who brought you, and say, man, I accepted Jesus, or I recommitted my life to Jesus tonight. It'll be the best single thing you have ever done.